Good morning. Am I on?
Yes.
Oh, good. So, the reading is from Luke chapter 1 from the NIV, and I'm Chris Rogers. Mary visits Elizabeth. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to the town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zachariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name." Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. Well, greetings and good morning. Welcome to Brookside Baptist Church. It is great to see you this morning. So, at the beginning of our worship, Adam reminded us that today is the beginning of Advent. So, I want to know, have you set up your Christmas tree yet? No. I was made to set up our Christmas tree yesterday. For my family, the putting up of the tree sort of is the start of the real Christmas season. It's the start of the countdowns, yeah? What are some of the important countdowns that we do at this time? Come on, you've got one for me. What are you counting down for right now? Christmas Day, that's a fantastic answer. What other one would we be counting down for? The end of school for 2020. Oh man, are you looking forward to that, kids?
Yeah.
Are you teachers looking forward to that?
Yeah.
Did you just hear that? The kids were like, yes! And all the adults were like, yes, I just need to break. It's a wonderful time of year, isn't it? For me, I love this time of year because of Antissa. Patient, that's it. You got to wait. So my friends, I wanted to know this morning, what is it that you are getting excited for? What are you anticipating coming up soon? So this is the question for you. What are you looking forward to this Christmas? Besides opening presents, what are you looking forward to? What are some of the traditions that your family has? I want to encourage you, if you're online, you might want to type a comment or an answer. For those in attendance, raise your hand she's put her hand down already. Raise your hand if you wanted to have a comment. Yes, what are you looking forward to this Christmas? Spending time with family. Yes, Christmas is a great chance for spending time with family. Who's got family coming this Christmas or is going to visit family? Yes. Oh, look at that. A lot of hands. What else? What are some of the other traditions, some of the fun things that you guys do at Christmas? Yes. Dinner. Are you a dinner or a lunch team? Lunch? Yeah, the Christmas Day lunch that turns into Christmas Day dinner and snacks and everything. It's just one long meal for like 12 hours. Yes.
I'm reading the story, but
Reading the story of Jesus' birth. Man, what a great answer. It's like you've read my sermon notes or something. Anyway, reading the story of Jesus' birth. You know, some of those times spending with family, reading the story. What else? Come on. There's got to be some other family traditions out there. Yes, Davinda. Going Christmas lights looking. Oh, that is the stuff right there, isn't it? You got the aircon on, you're driving around town late at night, you feel a little bit creepy, but still, the Christmas lights everywhere is absolutely gorgeous. Hey, you might even be one of those people that has to go to Hunter Valley Gardens and see their massive, massive light display. It is just amazing to see. All right, what other traditions? Oh, you've all got carols. Yes, the singing of carols. Don't forget the carols in your backyard events coming up. We've got another carols event that we're going to talk about starting from next week. It is going to be a carolific Christmas. And Chris, you yelled something. Oh yeah, those special Christmas dishes. Man, it's not Christmas for me unless I get my mum's Christmas pudding. All right. Some years I don't even get my mum's Christmas pudding, but that's one of the things I love about Christmas. But we all have these different things that at this time of year we start anticipating. I don't know, like my mouth starts to water and I get giddy. I feel like a 7-year-old at this time of year. You know that, you remember when you were 7? You know, Christmas Day, you wanted to get up and like open the presents and everything was exciting. Our reading from Luke today is, for me anyway, has that carrying of that anticipation, that excitement, that hope, that, oh yes, that giddy little 7-year-old. But it does it in 3 different ways. So let's look at that. And I want to start off with talking about Elizabeth. And Elizabeth has this joyful anticipation. Think about this for a second. If you read through Luke chapter 1, you would see that after many years of unanswered prayers, of living with the pain of infertility, suddenly in her old age, Elizabeth was pregnant. And nobody but her husband, Zechariah, knew it. Luke records that when she received the news, Elizabeth spent 5 months in isolation. If you thought COVID lockdown was bad, 5 months of that lockdown. Despite her news, despite the joy, could you imagine 5 months not talking to anyone, the anticipation of this birth? She was largely alone, Elizabeth. Despite her wonderful news. And then her husband, right? Remember what happened to him? He couldn't talk. God said, you're not going to be able to say anything until this baby's born. So she's just talking away to him and getting nothing back. Apparently that still goes on in a lot of households with husbands who just listen. Zechariah had been reluctant to trust that angel's promise. So Elizabeth seldom heard, if ever, another voice for months at an end. Imagine how isolated she felt. And then Mary comes on the scene. Mary comes and visits. Mary, who has just heard some joyful news herself. How good would Elizabeth feel at that moment seeing her cousin come to visit? So the second level of anticipation here has to do with Mary. Mary's anticipation is mixed with a sense of uncertainty and fear. After all, she was a young virgin girl. She was betrothed to be married to Joseph, and she found herself pregnant. Can you imagine the fear she must have felt, especially in that culture of her time? An unwed woman who was pregnant was considered an outcast, someone to be shunned, pushed to a side. She was considered to be unclean, or even worse, words apply. Could you imagine how Mary feels, anticipating God's promise, yet having these feelings of uncertainty? Mary probably felt alone and lonely at this time as well. Can you imagine how her family would have felt? We know in different gospels that Joseph considered quietly ending their relationship. Imagine how Mary's family would have reacted. Joseph had the right at that time, under the law, to be able to quietly divorce his wife. Well, his soon-to-be wife. But he was stopped by an angel and told that this is a good thing. So we have Elizabeth's anticipation, a long time waiting. We have Mary's anticipation of this exciting thing that is going to happen, and the fear that it brings. And then we have an unspoken anticipation here. It's the anticipation of God's people for the coming Messiah. People like Mary and Elizabeth, and soon Elizabeth's unborn child, were among many people at the time who were hoping and praying for the long-awaited Messiah to come. In this passage, the only difference between them and the people of God is that Mary, Elizabeth, and Elizabeth's unborn child, John the Baptist, knew when and how the Messiah was coming. This promise of the Messiah, this promise of new life, was being fulfilled after many, many centuries of anticipation. This fulfillment brings a sense of joy to many people. It still brings joy today to so many. This joy, this hope, this anticipation is an offer of new life and hope to a sin-filled world. I found this passage incredibly interesting. At that first reading, it seems like it is the mothers of Jesus and John meeting. But this passage is really about Jesus and John. Did you pick that up? The way that John reacts in the womb. This reaction of an anticipation, of excitement of what was to come. An anticipation of a mirror of the forerunner, the one who would come and pave the way and would bring people and call them to repentance in Luke chapter 3. But this meeting of these two people, with John in the inside, Elizabeth leaping for joy, like, I assume it's a little bit more than kicking, or, you know, bub giving a little bub. I mean, like, she's making a big to-do about it. One commentator talked about how this passage here, talking about John and Jesus in the womb, is a parallel. It's a parallel to something we find in Genesis 25. In Genesis, we find that there is internal tension between two babies. These babies would be Jacob and Esau, both struggling for supremacy in the womb. But here, it's the total opposite of tension. John leaps for joy in the womb at the very presence of Jesus and his mother. Do you feel the anticipation that is going on in this passage? Before he's even born, John the Baptist is the forerunner for the Messiah. This note of fulfillment it was something that was said to Zechariah, that this kid that Elizabeth would bear would be filled with the Holy Spirit from the womb. The fact that Elizabeth is then filled with the Holy Spirit as well is remarkable, and Luke records this for us to allow us to see that Elizabeth is not just another mother. She's not simply enjoying the experience of a kicking baby. She's feeling joy from this child. I don't know about you parents, but I know there are times when I watch my children when they're incredibly happy. Those joyful moments. What do they do inside of you? Don't they just make you feel warm and alive? Whatever it is, you know, they've told a funny joke and they're finding it absolutely hilarious. And you're like, that was the lamest dad joke I could have told. But you're finding, that's hilarious. Those moments. Elizabeth is expressing the joy that is in her through this baby. It sets the whole mood for the rest of this chapter, this passage. That the basic response at Christmas time to the arrival of Jesus onto the scene, onto history, should be one of joyful celebration. Look, we're very good Baptists here. As such, we don't venerate Mary or Elizabeth. We don't say that they're more special like other traditions do. But sometimes we do have to wrestle with understanding how God works. And what I've discovered is at times it might not make sense to us. I mean, let's think about it for a second. Why did God choose Mary instead of someone from a more prestigious background? After all, how much more would Jesus been accepted if he was born to a queen? To maybe born into the priesthood? I mean, have you ever noticed that we celebrate royalty still? Hey, we actually celebrate when someone marries into the royal family, even if they do later jump off ship and head to America, never to speak to the royal family again. Too soon? Jesus would have been readily more accepted if he came from a different family, potentially. But if that was the case, then it would not have fitted in very well with God's plan. He wasn't after someone who had prestige. He was after someone who would be obedient. Someone who would say, you know what, God, I feel this anticipation and this uncertainty, but I trust you ultimately. He preferred the obscure and the insignificant to the prestigious and the popular. And he does this and he shows us this by encasing the fragility, is that the word I want to use here, Brad? Sounds right, okay. And the strength of Mary and Elizabeth. Mary and Elizabeth who consent to God's purpose on their lives. Mary and Elizabeth who have children that changes so many lives. God makes the impossible possible. He causes a virgin woman and an elderly woman to conceive and bear children. God can make the impossible happen for us today if we have faith and trust in Him. With God, the possibilities are endless. And if we push into our faith, if we say to God, we trust you, we trust you, we trust you, then our blessing too will be endless. See, God blesses Mary and He blesses Elizabeth. Even in the messiness that their lives are in, even if in those points of time when they feel like things are spinning out of control, they trust God's faithfulness and the blessings come. They respond with faith. God spoke to them in their fears and their worries, the things that we would call mess. And it's a reminder that He speaks to us in our mess too. So what does this have to do with us today? I mean, it's a story from a while ago. What can we learn? What can we take away? I think it really starts with that idea of anticipation. Have you ever read a series of books? Like you know what I'm talking about here? Like there's like 3 or 4 or 7 volumes, right? But you join that series when, say, the first 2-3 books are written. It hasn't quite completed yet. And you anticipate because the author just says, hey, there's going to be the next in the series. You get a little, okay, I shouldn't put it on you. I get a little bit excited when I'm reading a series and there's a new book coming out. I mean, like, okay, I am a nerd. It's okay. I'll own it. But I get excited. I'm like, okay, I can't wait because I'm worried. I'm worried about what's going to happen to my guy. You know, my hero of the story. Like, he was in a precarious position, hanging upside down, wrapped in ropes over a pit with something that's going to jump up and eat him. We want to see what happens in the storyline, what comes next on the next installment. That anticipation of something yet to come. See, this is why we should anticipate, because the story of Christmas, the birth of Jesus, is not the whole story in itself. There's more to come. The Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us, He has come to our earth. Now, we're on the opposite side of half of that story. We've seen His life play out. We've read about His death and His resurrection. But do you know there is still more of that story to come? Better yet, my friends, do you realize in Christ, you and I are in the middle of eternity? Might not be the middle, might not be the early middle, it might be the late middle, it might be the middle of the end of the middle, but we're in the middle. We're in the middle of God's story. And Christmas is meant to remind us that God is not finished with us and that He is still in control. Do you get it? Christmas is meant to remind us the Messiah has come. He has lived. He has died. He's been resurrected. But there's still more to happen. There's still the kingdom of God to be fulfilled here on earth. And that's the point of today's message, that we are to live our lives in anticipation of what God has yet to bring and rejoice, for the end of the story is still to come. There's more. We've got part one and part two of the story, and we're eagerly anticipating part three. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we want to praise you and give you thanks for this feeling of anticipation and joy. Lord, each year we come to the beginning of Advent and we start to count down to when you will be born. That reminder of Emmanuel. Father, we thank you for that anticipation and we pray that you would remind us that there is anticipation that we still need to have. Of the day when your kingdom is fully established, when you return, when the accounts are settled. So, Father, we pray, Lord, we pray for that day. We know that you know, and we pray that, Lord, that you would allow it to happen in your time. So, Father, we pray a prayer of thanks. We pray in anticipation and we pray with joy in your son's name. Amen. Righty. I'd like